The bodies of the men associated with this death pit were also adorned with jewelry, necklaces, rings, a single earring, in contrast to the two earrings that women wore, and they also each carried a dagger and a whetstone, so they would have both a defensive weapon and a way to sharpen it, always with them, carried at their waist. In addition to the humans found in the grave, the bones of two oxen were identified in the death pit. These two graves, the goods and the bodies associated with them, are extraordinary. They provide definite evidence for human sacrifice, accompanying the burial of a man and a woman of high status, the ruler and the wife of the ruler. The amount of gold and other expensive goods buried in the chamber tombs gives us an idea of what a king and queen would use, and it shows an enormous amount of wealth. These tombs also let us imagine the funeral ritual, which often is not preserved by any archaeological evidence or even any written sources. We can't know if the elaborate costume that Puabi wore was something special, reserved just for the grave, or maybe even represented what she wore on certain ceremonial occasions. But if it was similar to what she would wear, say, at a religious festival, we know that queens were very closely associated with temples, then we can see how her dress would set her apart from the rest of the population. This large headdress with its bouncing flowers of gold, the weighty cape of beads that would make noise, that would move as she did. She would be the center of attention. And it's important to consider that dress sets individuals apart by their status. We saw this on the Standard of Ur, where now the men from different regions are shown wearing different costumes. We get the same idea with the costumes that are preserved in the chamber tombs, that Puabi's is significantly richer, more elaborate, more distinct than those of the attendants outside. The musical instruments played in a dirge or a hymn, and then followed by the death of the attendants, perhaps by some poison, as Woolley suggested, gives us the ultimate symbol of a ruler's power, that he can take his attendants, his courtiers, his subjects with him after death. This ritual suicide could very well have been voluntary. The individuals may have wanted to keep working for their rulers in the afterlife, or perhaps they believed that rulers needed servants in the afterlife and even compelled them to join them in death. It's hard to reconstruct the particulars of this. We don't even know how they died. Sometimes, as Woolley suggested, this idea of poison is reinforced by cups found in these great death pits, but nothing, no trace analysis has survived to reveal any poison. These graves give us remarkable insight into the power of the rulers in the early dynastic period, and scholars continue to puzzle over the significance of these tombs, especially since they remain unique discoveries. One of the maxims of the archaeologist is that you always want to find something completely unique that no one has ever found, but then once you do, you don't know how to interpret it. And this is exactly the situation with the royal graves at Ur. Since we have no parallels for this kind of human sacrifice, for even this wealth accompanying the ruler, it's very difficult to get beyond just the general statement that these are wealthy burials of rulers who required the attention of their servants after death.